So I wanted to start discussing the Indian of Amir al-Akum, which is really Nogeya all over Shulchan Aruch, all over the Torah, but it's certainly the main area where it's discussed and where it's the area where it most often is a question and has so many details. When yes, when not, isn't Hilchas Shabbos. There's a mechilta in Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo, we have the halachas of Pesach, the halachas of basic halachas of Yom Tov. Right, that's when Klal Yisrael were about to be leaving Mitzrayim, and when they left Mitzrayim, it was on the Tesva of Nisan, and that became a Yom Tov. It became the Yom Tov of Pesach, one of the Shalosh Regalim. And there are halachas on Pesach about which are similar to the halachas of Shabbos, but not exactly like Shabbos. And the pasuk says, "Kol malacha lo ye'aseh bohem." No malacha shall be done on them on the days of Yom Tov. Kol malacha lo ye'aseh bohem. So Chazal medayik, why does it say kol malacha lo ye'aseh? Yes, the passive lashon. No malacha should be done. We would have expected it to say kol malacha lo sasu. Don't do. Like it says by Shabbos, it says lo sase kol malacha, right? By Shabbos, when it talks about not the Yisur of Shabbos, lo sase kol malacha, atovin chavitech, etc. So why a passive lashon kol malacha lo ye ase bohem? So Chazal say there in the Mechilta lo ye ase afilu ayidei acherim, meaning not just that you shouldn't do malacha, but malacha shouldn't be done even by others. Now, what does others mean? Well, it can't mean another Jew. Because, of course, another Jew can't do malacha. The Torah is talking to the other Jew, just like he's talking to you. Right? Kol malacha lo yaseh bohem for any yid. So lo yaseh bohem means even al yidei nachri. That's what the Chazal is saying there in the pasuk. Ki'ilu, the Torah is telling us that. When the Torah says, kol malacha lo yaseh bohem, that no malacha should be done on the Yom Tovim, al yidei acherim, it's ki'ilu, the Torah is saying that... That Amir Lakum is asur, and that a yid can't have malacha done for him by a non-Jew. Now, there's a tzad in a couple of poskim that this is a doraisa mamish. There's a tzad like that, that this is a drasha gemura, and the Torah is telling me that that having malacha being done through a guy on yontif and then kol shekein Shabbos is asur. But most learn not like that. The Beis Yosef brings us down in Simin Reish Mem Dalet, towards the beginning of Hilchas Shabbos. Simin Reish Mem Dalet, the Beis Yosef brings down this Mechilta. He brings the Chafetz Chaim in the Sharet Zion. Well, first in the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Mem Gimel. In Reish Mem Gimel, Sivkotan Hey, he brings it down. He calls it Asmachta. Vasmechuhu Akra. Chazal was somech the iser of Amir la'akum on a pasuk, the pasuk to malach liyaseh behem, v'losiv loksiv losaseh l'rameis tafili de'acherim liyaseh. Okay, and but here in the Sharet Zion, he says ayin beis Yosef v'sof simin reish b'mdal mashal kasav al mechilta b'shem smag the sefuki misafgalei that he has a suffix, he has a tzad to say ulai hu drasha gemura, maybe it's mamash drasha gemura. So there's a mamash atzad. There's a tzad that the Isra Amir Lakum is a dinteraisa. Okay, he says it's not halacha. It's not true. The Sharasim goes on to say, "Avol mikol haposkim mashbiu du rak midrabanan." Vayim baramban shekaz of gamke the nuschem utas haye b'mechilta v'chenis kamagra, etc. So okay, lemaisa, this is how we. Certainly, Neman always that we assume it says in Shah, Amir la'akum shvus. Shvus means Nisa de Rabbanan. So that's for sure the way we accept it. But it's interesting to see it's a shvus with at least an asmachta in the pasuk, which at least asmachta, is when the pasuk writes something which could be interpreted and understood as this iser, even though it's not really the kavan of the Torah there. The Torah doesn't mean to aser it, but the Torah perhaps does mean to allude to it and to sort of give some additional status and chomer, level of stringency to this Darabanan over other Darabanans possibly. Okay, so Amir Lakum is a serious business. And the general rule is, that if you can't do it, you can't have a guy do it for you. If it's usher for a yid to do on Shabbos, then it's usher for him to ask a guy to do. That's the general rule. Now, we know there are many exceptions. And because there's so many exceptions, that's why sometimes it becomes a little bit lax. Let's ask a guy. A lot of times you're allowed to ask a guy, truth be told. There are many times you are. But it's not just a open field. It's not a remedy that solves all situations. It's clearly not this. There's, you know, a whole sugya shleimus about Emir Lakim. So that's what we'll try to learn and, you know, to understand when it's usher and when it's not usher, and as much as we can, there's Hashem. So first, listen, what's the reason? If we're saying it's the Rabbanan, so what's the reason for this issur? Why did Chazal make such an issur that you can't ask a guy? It would be very convenient if the Torah allows it. So, you know, what's the reason why? Now we said what we find in Asmachta, but still there has to be, you know, reasons for it, for Chazal to actually implement it, and the reasons also could make a nafkamina in understanding the scope of the issur. So one reason, the Rambam says that it's a very basic idea that it shouldn't be a kal be'enei habrios, meaning Isurei Shabbos should be taken more seriously. If anything you can't do on Shabbos, in this usher, you can just ask a guy to do. You can't, you forgot to cook the food, so ask a guy to cook the food. You know, assuming you won't run into bishlacha problems, which is a separate thing, which maybe, you know, came later anyway, than the Isra of Amir Lakam. Bishlacham was a gzera the Chazal made later when they saw a need for it. But anyway, Bishlacham doesn't apply to all types of foods, and that's just one example. But if you the light is off, so have a guy turn on the light, or you, whatever it is, you know, you want, Shabbos is a day, it's a convenient day, there are people around to mow your lawn, so it's a good way to mow your lawn, it'll be a, you know, whatever. So it's going to become very cold. Melech Shabbos will lose some of their chashivas, or could, this is the Chazal afraid, this is the Rambam, that it's going to lose some of its chashivas and arise, and some of the fear that we have of being Mechal Shabbos will be watered down and weakened and lessened if anything we can't do, we just get the guy to do it. And the people would have a whole, you know, staffs of goyim just working for them and doing, you know, doing all this thing. I mean, as it is, with all the yisurim of Amir Lakum, we still find a lot of businesses find ways, even by, you know, owned by from people, to be functioning on Shabbos through the involvement of non-Jews. But it has to be done in a certain way that not just straight out ask a guy to do it for you, but there are ways with being renting out the business, selling the business, a guy shashutav, etc. And again, there is sugi, there is simanim shachar aruch about this. And it, after all, some of it that's done is not necessarily recommended to be done normally. Some of it's done only by situations where a business simply cannot exist, or without, you know, without being open on Shabbos, or a person finds he's in very difficult financial straits and whatever it is, because Baruch Hu has made it such that he finds his only way of being befarnes himself is if he comes on to certain methods of using, of employing the services of a guy derech heter, you know, under the guidance of running. But even then, it's only then. But if it would be mut, if there'd be no Isra of Mir Lakum altogether, so basically, you know, okay, so the Jew would be home and eating his Shabbos suit and davening in shul, etc., but everything going on as normal, it would take away a lot from Shabbos and cause, and it could lead people to do malachas. Okay, so that's one reason. Another reason is based on which applies in some cases is based on the pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya Navi, which talk about the chashivas of Shabbos, it's in the kapitel which the parakwet we lay on Yom Kippur, the haftarah for Yom Kippur, famous pasukim, right? Some people say them every Shabbos at Kiddush, Shabbos morning Kiddush. Im toshiv mi Shabbos raglecha, asos chavetzecha biyom kodshi. If you will refrain on Shabbos from going about your normal business, the karas la Shabbos oneg, and you'll proclaim Shabbos as a day of oneg, of pleasure and delight, l'kadosh Hashem v'chubad, the holy days of Hashem you'll treat and consider with honor. V'chibadato, you'll honor mesos derachecha, from doing your regular ways, mimso cheftzecha v'daber davar, mimso cheftzecha, from going about your business, v'daber davar, and from speaking matters, mundane weekday matters. And it says us to tanagal Hashem, then you'll be zeicha to the reward will be you'll be misanigal Hashem v'chaticha b'masi aretz v'chaticha nachal as Yaakov avicha kipi Hashem diber. Gemara and Shabbos darshins what this means about the rewards that will come for a person who shomer Shabbos. But anyway, those last two words, the last two words of the things that the navi is speaking about are v'daber davar, not to speak, that you should not, a person should not speak about his normal things. Shalom, and Chazal say, shalom yehei diburcha b'Shabbos ki diburcha b'chol. The way you talk on Shabbos, the way you speak on Shabbos should not be the same as the way you speak during the week. During the week, you talk about, first of all, let's say business. You talk about business. Shabbos, you're not allowed to talk about business on Shabbos, right? Nothing to do with the Mir Lakum, right? This part of it. You're not allowed to discuss, you know, business in a way that you're enhancing a business that's no gaya, like you know, to meet somebody says, oh, you know what, I heard there's a house for sale on the next block. What are they asking? Assuming you have some interest in it. If a person has zero interest in it, meaning interest of buying, has no intention whatsoever of buying, it's just curiosity. He wants to hear what's the latest, you know, prices in the neighborhood. Then stock a mutter, or see somebody walks, somebody comes, you know, has whatever, has something new, and you ask him, your person got a new car, and you see him on Shabbos, and you say, wow, that's a beautiful car, what'd you pay for that? You have zero intention of buying such a car, you never would do it. So you're actually allowed to ask him. It's not Shabbos dick, and it's not recommended for Shabbos, but it's not usher. It's called Dvarim Shel Mabekach, or Dvarim Shel, the Gemara calls it like divrei melech, malacha, things that are totally irrelevant. You have no shaychus, no connection to it really. Just stop asking. Or things that in the past, like you're allowed to discuss about money that was spent, assuming you've already paid. You know, you had workers and you're just reviewing how much you paid, assuming you paid the bill. If you didn't pay the bill, you're not allowed to discuss it. That's called business. But but also you're not allowed to talk about malacha on Shabbos. You're not allowed to say that I'm going to do tomorrow. You know, oh, tomorrow we're going to be driving to New York, whatever. So it's driving. You're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. You're not allowed to say you're going to drive tomorrow. Well, tomorrow I'm going to all these things I heard about. I need to write down tomorrow. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write down everything we spoke about, so we'll have good records. You're not allowed to say on Shabbos that you're going to do malacha during the week. You're not allowed to talk about doing malacha. So the same thing, Dabra Dover, part of that is not allowed to ask a guy to do malacha for you. Asking a guy to do malacha for you is part of the issue of Dabra Dover. You're speaking about malacha. You say, could you turn on the light? Could you do this? Could you do that? That's a violation of Dabra Dover. That includes even if you would ask him to do the malacha after Shabbos. You meet a guy and you ask him to tomorrow, could you do this malacha? You're not allowed to do that because of Dabra Dover. Okay, so that's the second reason. And a third reason, maybe the most interesting reason, is that it's because of shlichus. We know there's a concept of shlichus in the Torah, shlichus adam kamoso, and I can fulfill a mitzvah. There are many mitzvahs I can fulfill a day shliach. Not every mitzvah, I mean, a mitzvah shebegufo, I can't have a shliach. I can't ask someone else to put on tefillin for me, meaning, you know, put tefillin on his arm instead of me. Or whatever it is, I can't. Many mitzvahs you can't do a shliach, but many you can. You can send a shliach to put up a mezuzah on your house, or on your house, yeah, not on his house. That you could be mekadosh anisha shliach, right? You can send the shliach to give a woman money and be mekadosh her to you. You can do, you know, many. It can be mafresh truma samayis like shliach or mafresh chali shliach, but that's by a mitzvah. Normally by an aveira we say ein shliach advar aveira, right? If I send someone else to go do an aveira, I ask him to. It's not like I did it. By a mitzvah, it's like I did it. He did the mice and I get credit. Shlucha shalatim kamoso, I get credit. It's like I did it. It's misyaches. It's the mice is attributed to me, but not by an aveira, right? Ein shliach advar aveira, because the Gemara says one reason, because we say What do you listen to him for? He told you to do it. What you were foolish to listen. And it says divrei harav, divrei atalma, divrei mishom. And Hashem said not to do the avera. So he told you to do the avera. So therefore, it doesn't go back to him. Him is the mishaleach. Right? Reuben said Shimon to do an avera. Shimon does it. Shimon gets the punishment. Shimon is considered to be the Baal Aveira, not Reuven. Reuven doesn't exactly get a reward for doing that either. Reuven might have it, and even if a Chas Shalom Meses Meidiach, if you're bringing somebody else to do an Aveira, it's a terrible thing. It might be Lusneiver, it might be Meses Meidiach, but it's not his Aveira per se. It's the other guy's Aveira. So if I send a guy to do Michal Shabbos, so you say, well, ain't shleich levar avera, but first of all, it's not so pushit, because when the person I'm sending is not chayev, is not for him, it's not usher. Oh, then maybe it does attack. It does go back to me, right? If the whole svara is he shouldn't have done, what did he listen to you for? What did you listen to me for? I said I told you to do an avera, and so I should get the avera because you listened to me. Who told you to listen to me? You should listen to Hashem. You were foolish for listening to me. But if the person I send is not, for him it's not an Avera, then why not? Why shouldn't he listen to me? Him it's not an Avera. So first of all, for the guy it's not an Avera. But there really is another problem here, because there's Ein Shlichus La'akon. When you make a Shliach, Shlichus L'Kamosa, the Gemara says in many places in Shas, Ma'atem Bar Chiyuva, Ma'atem B'nei Bris, actually, Av Shluchachem B'nei Bris, where we learn from the Pasuk of Shlichus. One of the psukim is from the word atem. It says, "Kain torimu gam atem." It's talking about by truma. Kain torimu gam atem. Atem gam atem. We dash him just like ma atem b'nei bris ashluchachem b'nei bris. So a guy's not ben bris. He's not part of the covenant of the Jewish people. So I can't make a guy a shliach. If I send a guy a shliach to take trumas, it doesn't work. To truma. Just parenthetically, there's a whole discussion about this, because kashrus organizations, it's not a new thing, and sometimes do have goyim. It seems that goyim do take truma samaisis, but it's, especially in Eretz Yisrael, that's where it's much more relevant. Here it's only relevant if you happen to get Israeli produce. But Eretz Yisrael, it's relevant all the time. And they do have goyim sometimes be mafra truma samaisis. And this whole Torah about this, about how... It truma maisa really could be taken out of bedas too. Truma maisa doesn't really need a maisa necessarily. I can have in mind that, okay, that I'm looking at it and say, okay, that should be truma on the rest. And it could be chal that way, because, v'nechshav lechem truma, so you could even be machshava. So sometimes you could have a guy actually do the physical maisa, but he's working. It's like the Jew is took the trumas of maaser, the guy just did the physical separation. There's a lot of Torah, the Hartzvi has Jew, there's a lot of Torah about this. Mamash Nogei Lamaisa in some of the, like I said, Kashrut organization. But anyway, getting back to the point, but I can't just send the guy, say, you go ahead, you do it, and you do it for me. Or I can't send the guy to, to do other mitzvahs. I can't send a guy to Mekadosh Nisha, right? If you don't want to show up at your own chasana, that's okay, and you can send somebody else to give the call of the ring, but make sure he's Jewish. If he's not Jewish, then it's not chal. So then there's no shlichus lakum. So what's the problem with Amir lakum? So the answer is, but l'churma there is. Ain't shlichus typically l'kula. I can't be yotz. I can't use a goy shlich and consider myself that I fulfilled the mitzvah. But l'churma there is. L'churma, this Rashi says this. This is true to Rashi, and others, that there's a shlichus lechumra, and that's a third reason why it's usher to send a guy to do an aver for you, a chil Shabbos for you.
Lechumra of Amir Lakum, or just because of the chumra of Amir Lakum?
Because the chumra of Shabbos. No, I say yesh lechumra, meaning we're not makel to consider it that I got credit for a mitzvah, but we are machmer to say that I got the discredit, or whatever the word is, for the blame for Nevera. Okay, so these are three main reasons given for Amir, why Isra of Amir Lakum. But it's not just Amir Lakum. There's even an Isser of, even if a guy does Malacha for a Jew, but the Jew didn't ask him for it, didn't ask him to do it. That's Allah. If a guy sees that he'd need something done, or would perhaps appreciate something, and he does out of the goodness of his heart. He goes ahead and does it for the Jew. You're not allowed to be benefit. You're not benefit from it on Shabbos.
L'mashal, what would be the shlichus there? So there's no
right. So there's not. I think I guess it's mostly as the Rambam's reason that shlo ye, you know, l'kavanecha, right.
There's no dabe dabe either.
There's no dover dover, but I mean there is a but there is two ideas there. There's really machlok is Rashi and Tosis. Why is it that if so I take the base, not just Elzaram, the machlok is Rashi and Tosis. Why is it that if a guy does machav on Shabbos that I can't be nana from it? So Rashi's words are shelo yehena mimelecha Shabbos, that one should not derive a benefit from a malacha done, which they say, you know, even if a guy does it, it has a shame malacha Shabbos. Shame, it's a malacha, it's muteris, I did the guy, for the guy, but it has a shame malacha Shabbos, and Chazal didn't want we should be nana from malacha Shabbos, probably so that we don't come and end up doing it ourselves. And Tosis says, shelo yavo, you know, levakish memenu, that you shouldn't come. It's like an extension of the Isra of Amira. In order that you don't ask him to do it, they ask it even if you didn't ask him, he did it on his own.
That's not a 0-0.
No, because I think it's all part of the, you know, it's part of the sequence. It's part of the same Xera that they're afraid, Hainu Hach, that if they're not going to ask him when he does it on his own, so then there'll be a lot of ways that you'll end up sort of asking him to do it without
hinting,
which well, like we're going to see sometimes it is actually mutter, but obviously the only time it's mutter to hint is in a case where you're allowed to have hana, right, or where it's not called hana. Because if you can't get hana, what do you gain by hinting? But okay, but normally where you can't have hana, you can't hint either. So, but if it's going to be mutter to have hana, then you may find ways to get him to do it. So Tosis says that Tosis says she shouldn't come to ask him. She couldn't come to ask him to do it. Rashi says shlo yehenu melech Shabbos, and Tosis says she shouldn't ask him to do it. And it has a big nafgamina, legabi 2 days of Yontif. You know, we talk about Shabbos and Yontif are basically the same. Legabi all this, it's big nafgamina. It's famous Rashi Maseches Beitza, like a fascinating type of Rashi, where Rashi's addressing the question of, let's say, if 2 days of Yontif back to back. And a guy on his own goes ahead and does something. He goes ahead, the Gemara talks about he's tzad dug him. He catches some fish and he brings you. You have a neighbor who's friendly to you, and he says, it's your holiday, that you love us. I was out fishing. I said, I'm going to bring you a present. Bring some nice, fresh, it's the kosher kind. Yeah, it's got the fins, the scales. It's the kosher, the kind I always see you eating. Fresh, nice, freshly caught fish. Go ahead and, you know, prepare and fish it. Yontif. So you can't, you're not allowed to, you know, he trapped it on Yontif. It saw the zasser even on Yontif, right? You're not allowed to catch fish on Yontif from an open pond. Or he picked some fruit. He picked some tomatoes from his garden. He brings you a present on Yontif, some freshly picked fruit or vegetables. So you're not allowed to have them. Question is, are you allowed to have them the second day of Yontif? When is it mutter to eat them? Does it have to be only after the second day of Yontif? Well, no, just once the first day of Yontif is over, you can have it the second day of Yontif. So what's the shayla? So Rashi says it's mutter the second day yontif. Rashi says this, and Rashi says, why? Because it's Rashi holds it's shelo yehene mimelechas yontif, right? Or Shabbos yontif. And if it's 2 days of yontif, if for sure only 1 day is really yontif, we're mechuyev to observe both day. We can't do malach on either day because Chazal originally was a suffix, you know, chutz laretz. And even when it's no longer a suffix, Chazal made a gzera, made a takana, gzera shema yachsa, double a kulkulo, so that chas v'shalom, if things ever end up going back to their the state that they were in, where we lose track of, you know, we don't have a calendar system with the Yom Tovim clearly marked out, and we don't know exactly when it is Yontif, and we have to rely on different systems of finding out, so we may not know. Like, that was the problem. Chutz Laretz, they were far from the Beis Din, right? Beis Din was Koveya, the Rosh Chodesh in Yerushalayim, and that, based on that, determine when is it going to be Rosh Hashanah, or Yerushalayim, but when is it going to be Sukkot, when is it going to be Pesach? And then they had to get the message to the Jews living in Galus. And it took a while to get to everyone, and some people didn't find out it was already the 15th of of Nisan, the 15th of Tishrei, and some people, especially Tishrei, because you have less time to travel, the Shlichim, because Yom Kippur in the middle and Rosh Hashanah, they have less time to travel. So by the time they got the message, it could be it was after the 15th of the month, and it already passed, and you know which. When it comes to the 15th of the month, or what might be the 15th of the month, they don't know for sure. Is today the 15th? Is tomorrow the 15th? When was Rosh Chodesh? It's only a one-day question, right? When was Rosh Chodesh? They knew when the previous Rosh Chodesh, by then they knew, Rosh Chodesh Elul, by then they knew, but they don't know when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was, or Rosh Hashanah. They don't know. Was it day 30? Was it day 31? So they don't know. Is Pesach Monday? Is it Tuesday? They don't know. So they had to keep both days. So, okay, and then Chazal made exer, even after we rely on a calendar, and you know we know for sure, but we still gzeirah shemayav stelikul kulo. We say mesaras havasena biyadena. We keep both days, but we keep both days. But it's not yontif both days really. It's only yontif one day. So you're not nen of a malachas yontif. If the guy picked the fruit on the first day yontif, and you eat it the second day, you're definitely not nenim from malachas yontif, because if yesterday was yontif when he picked it, so today's not yontif. And if today is Yontif, so then he picked it on Erev Yontif. He definitely didn't pick it on Yontif, and I'm eating it on Yontif. Yontif is only one day. I mean, the Pesach at the beginning is only one day, and at the end is only one day, and Sukkah is only one day in each end, Minat Torah. So if yesterday was Yontif when he picked it, then today's not Yontif. I can't do Malacha today because I don't know if it's Yontif or Chazal made Gzera, but I do know that this fruit is Mutter, because this fruit is either picked on Erev Yontif, and today's Yantuf, or was picked yesterday Yantuf, today's not Yantuf. So Rashi says you're allowed to, and Rashi writes, it's such an interesting Rashi, because he writes there, you know, this was always Pasha to me, says Rashi. So Rashi gives a whole speech. It was Pasha to me, and I didn't ask my Rebbe, when he quotes it right now, because it was like, never Pasha. And now people are, others are questioning it, and they're challenging it, and saying, no, that it's also both days. And he says, I think he says something like this, Chaval, I never asked the shahs of my Rebbe. And then he says, then an Adam Gadol came from Rome, Rabbi Klonimus Shmova, who Baki Bechala Talmud, and he said, like me, and Avadan, I'm very happy. So Rashi is like really interesting Rashi Mesechus Beitza. So right there on the daf is Tosis that says, no, I disagree.
Is the person forbidden to derive benefit from the melacha made by a goy regardless of the intention? Let's say somebody has a lady that cleans in his house, and she makes a coffee for herself. And she leaves the pot with coffee there. Can you go there and grab it?
Okay, so hopefully we'll tell you more details, but I'll give you the short answer is that if it's something, first of all, if it's something the goy did for themselves, uh-huh, and it's just as it's like turning on a light. The guy wanted to read and turn on the light, and you happen to be there, so that's mutter because they did it for themselves. And we say ner le'echad, ner le'meya. When they turn on a light, the same light that he can read by, I can read by. So that's mutter.
Okay.
But if it's something that it's a question of, you can't drink the same cup of coffee she drank. She has to, if she puts up a pot of coffee, in order for you to be benefit, there has to be enough coffee in there or enough water, whatever it is, for two people, right? She just puts enough for herself, you're not going to be able to drink coffee. But if she puts enough for both of you, then you could. So even if she did it for herself, then it depends. If what's called makiro, if she knows you, and it's something that, you know, she might do it for you or add for you, and then you're talking not allowed to, because we're afraid she, just like just what I just said, afraid she might add some, you're doing it for herself, but she might add more water in the pot and cook more in order to benefit you.
So in the same logic, if let's say you, the guy that cleans you, he goes out and see an apple tree, he grabs three apples and he's going to eat them all. Then he eats the first one and says, you know, I no longer want them. Will you be allowed to eat it?
So if it's a case of makiro, he gives it to someone, a friend of his, then you're not, because we're afraid if you can eat it this time, the next time he might take a picket for you. If he's somebody who's not makiro, he has to have, say, anybody want these avad and eat them, and he gives it to this person he doesn't know, then it's takamut, we're not afraid, there's no gzer, he's going to be marba for this guy, he doesn't know this guy. But if it's by makiro, it's usser. Okay. But that's only, like I said, something which it's shaykh to add. Something where you need to do a more malacha. For the more the people, the more malacha you have to do. Whereas turning on the light, you're allowed to be then. Okay. So now this is based on Gemara's. It's a Mishnah's Gemara's Masech Shabbos about they once came on a boat and they needed a ramp to get off the boat, and there was a guy there and he built a ramp. So the same ramp that he could use, you know, the Jews could use it. Okay. Anyway. So Tosis argues with Rashi right there and says, no, the reason why it's usur is because you might ask the guy to do it. Not she shouldn't be nene from Aleches Yantif, but so that you shouldn't come to ask the guy. And if it's going to be mutter tomorrow, so you might ask the guy. You'll ask him on Monday to pick some tomatoes so that you'll have them on Tuesday. And Tuesday's still Yantif. You're not allowed to. Now to pick tomatoes on Tuesday either, if it's still Yantif. So if it's going to allow you to eat it on Tuesday, you might ask him on Monday. And you, says Tosis, the reason's not, or it's not only, or maybe it's not at all, shelo yehenim im Aleches Yantif. The reason is shelo yomer. Okay, so this is what it's saying. These two sheetahs are brought in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yomtiv. Hilchos Shabbos. Well, I mean, it's not getting to this Yomtiv. So it's brought in Siman Tov Kuf Tesvav. In Hilchos Yomtiv, between the Mechaber and the Ramah, if a guy does Malacha for a Yid on one day of Yomtiv, is he allowed to be Nenim for the second day of Yomtiv? I believe the Mechaber is Mekel, like Rashi, and the Ramah is Machmer. Except in Makam Tzarya, and Makam Tzarya, he's Mekel. I think I didn't. Take a look there. Okay, now, but typically, okay, so that's the question, right? That's the question. Why they asked? They asked it because so that you shouldn't come to ask God to do it, or shlo yehenim melechas yontif, which that lechara that has shaychus to the Rambam's reason, because if it can be nene from melechas Shabbos, it's gonna make the melechas more shvach in your eyes, and you might end up doing melacha. You might be quicker to do melacha. Okay, so let's say a guy did do malach on Shabbos for a Jew. So when could you be nene? So the din is not on Shabbos, only after Shabbos b'chdei shiasu. Because you have to wait enough time after Shabbos that the malach could be done. Let's say he cooked some food. He cooked some food on Shabbos for a Jew, for a Jew who's not a chola. Chola is allowed to have a guy cook for him on Shabbos. But this person's not a chola, a regular healthy person, and the guy went ahead and cooked some food for him. Maybe he asked him, he didn't ask him. So and again, we're talking where it's not bishalakum, food that doesn't have problem shalakum. So it's mutter after Shabbos, but only after you wait enough time that it could have been cooked after Shabbos. You have to wait enough time that the food could have been cooked after Shabbos.
Anyone can eat it.
Say again.
Anyone can eat it
after Shabbos. Yeah. Yeah, what do you mean? Even
I felt like maybe the sick person. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was the sick person.
Right? No. This has happened for a chola. It's mutter even on Shabbos. A person is a legitimate chola. I mean, he's nafal lemishkav, or he's chola kalaguf. He's and he needs some, hot. He wants hot soup. The guy's the flu, let's say. And he feels real. He's not no sakana. I'm not talking about a sakana chas shalom. He just feels very shvach, and he really would like a hot bowl of soup. So he's allowed to have a guy cook a hot bowl of soup for him on Shabbos. And because the Jew can't do it, right? It's not there's no sakana, Baruch Hashem. So a Jew can't cook soup for him, but a guy could. And there's not even nishla bishlakum on Shabbos, right? Since a Jew can't do it for him, so well, if that's the only reason. But there's no isra bishlakum for food that was cooked by a guy on Shabbos for a chola. It's mutter for the chola to eat it, even if it would normally be bishlakum, even if something that would normally be bishlakum. He cooks him a fresh, fresh chicken. Or he's allowed to eat it on Shabbos. Say again?
Not if
it's just on Shabbos. It's an exception. It's a unique exception. Shabbos, what is the status of that food after Shabbos? After Shabbos, is the food that was cooked on Shabbos by the guy, is it still mutter after Shabbos? Or after Shabbos, does it revert to being Asrael's Bishlakum? So that's Machlokas Rishonim, right? That's Machlokas Rishonim. And there's a Mishnah Berurah that addresses it in two places. Maybe we'll talk about a different place at a different time. But that the din of that. But okay, so just get back where it was. So normally, but talking about a regular chola. I mean, excuse me, a regular Jew, a regular healthy Jew, and a guy. He asked the guy, or the way he didn't ask, whatever. He did malach of him on Shabbos. He cooked some food, so you have to wait till after Shabbos before you could be nene from that food, whatever the malach is, he did. You have to wait till after Shabbos till you could enough time that it could be done after Shabbos until you've been. This is different than if a Jew does malacha. If a Jew does malacha as for shalom on Shabbos, then there is no din of bichdei shiasu, because we're not afraid that it's going to happen another time. We're not afraid that you're going to ask a Jew to do it for you because he's not going to listen to you normally. So, but by a guy, we're afraid if we allow you to be nene from it after Shabbos right away, you might ask him to do it on Shabbos. Okay, so that's the typical, that's the standard. So the halach is, so if the guy does it, so let's say the guy turns on a light. He turns on a light for a Jew. He sees that the Jew is sitting in the room and it's dark. He says, oh, do my favor, turn on the light. So you're not allowed to benefit the light. You're not allowed to do anything by the light that you couldn't have done without the light. If it's not your house, let's say you were sitting somewhere else and the guy does this, you actually have to leave the room because it's very likely you're going to be in the banana. If it's your own house, you don't have to leave your house. He can't kick you out of your house by turning on the light. You just have to be careful not to do anything you weren't able to do before. But if it's not your house, you're not even allowed to stay there, so that you shouldn't be nana. But this, as we said, is only if he does it for you. If he does it for himself, then it's mutter for the Jew to be nana, and you're even allowed to try to get him to do it for himself. Because you offer him something, and he says, oh sure, I'd love some of that, whatever it is, schnapps something, and then she says, oh, but I'm really sorry, I'd be happy to give it to you, but I can't find, it's too dark in my kitchen, I can't see it. And I say, oh, what's the problem? And he flips on the light.
But why don't you have the problem with Tosfos?
Because he's a malacha done by the guy for the guy.
I'm doing it for myself, really. Like, I know for myself.
Well, no, but okay. But the hagdara is, the hagdara of what they asked was when the malacha is done by the guy for the yid. That's a malacha they asked. A malacha done by the guy for the guy is, I just, maybe the story is, it's much less shchiach that something like that you'll.
Even though I know I'm doing it for myself, even though I'm asking the guy to do something for myself, but I'm saying in a way that he's doing it for himself, I won't come to go ahead and ask him for something.
Your motivation is for yourself, but what you're asking him to do a malacha for himself. You're asking him, or you're encouraging him, whatever it is, or you're just telling him, look, the truth is like this. You're allowed to ask a guy to do malacha for himself on Shabbos in general, right? You're allowed to ask him to, you know, you walk by your neighbor's lawn on Shabbos morning, come and show and say, you got the messiest lawn on the block. Wait, come on, you have no work today. What are you sitting around, sunbathing? Go mow your lawn. Yeah. So you're allowed to ask him. You're allowed to tell him. You know, go mow your lawn. But only with his own kelim. He can't use your keli. Okay. But if it's his own keli, his own lawn, you're allowed to ask him to do it. So now lechara, if it's, I was just thinking as we're talking, if it's in your house, you can't ask him to turn on the light for himself, even because it's your chara. I mean, it's your kelim, your stuff. You know, in your house. But you could allow him to do it. In other words, you say, I'm really sorry, I feel bad, I offered you this now, but I can't find it, it's too dark here. So the guy says, hold on a second, let me turn on the light. And you don't object, you don't have to object. Right? But you can't ask him to turn on the light in your house.
If he asks you if he can turn it off again?
Wait, say it again.
Let's say he turns on the light, and yes, then you find the soda, yeah, and he wants to turn it
no,
off.
No, so you're allowed to tell him, one second, leave it already. Yes. You're allowed to do that because you're not asking him to do a malacha. You're asking him if he turned it off already, then you might have a problem. But if he didn't turn it off, then you say, oh, one second, don't turn it off. Leave it. Once it's on already, leave it. I like it. So the pshat is he's sometimes not even asking. Even if I'm asking him, though, or recommending him, what I'm recommending is he does malacha for himself. That is much different than asking him to do malacha for me. So that you're allowed to be nana for, and the same thing. So there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say there are Jews and goyim there together, and he does it. So it says we go by, especially if he's not doing it for himself, he's doing it for the people there. So it says you go after the rov, if they're rov goyim, or depending if rov goyim or rov Jews. Okay. In any case, but when if he does it for a Jew directly, not allowed to be nana. So we're seeing already that Amir La'akum has. There's the Isra of Amira, and there's the Isra of Hana'a, and the Isra of Hana'a is not even limited to a case where there was an Amira. The Hana'a is even if there's absolutely no Amira whatsoever on the part of the Jew. Okay, now there question is what is this by deraisa and derabbanan? Let's start with that. Is it usher to ask a Jew to do something which is even for you would be a derabbanan, or is it only usher to ask him to do something which for you would be a deraisa? So the short answer, the general answer is no difference. Both. Yeah, that's the answer. Both. Just like you can't ask him to do an Issa Deraisa, something which for you would be a Deraisa, you can't ask him to do something which for you would be a Deraisa. However, there are differences. Right. Shwas to shwas. Now, so first of all, in terms of, let's say he does it on his own, you didn't ask him. And what he did is only a Derabbanan. So there the din is, only the person he did it for can't be Nana. And other Jews can. If he did a deraisa, no Jew could be nana. Turned on a bulb, an electric, deraisa bulb, a bulb with a filament, and he did this deraisa, no Jew could be nana for it. If he did a derabbanan, then the only one who can't be nana is the one he did the malacha for, but other people could. That's number one. And number two, there are certain cases where you're actually allowed to ask him if what he's. If the malacha is only a derabbanan, there are certain cases we're allowed to ask him. And there are, let's say, four categories of cases that you could ask him, when it's a derabbanan. This is the expression that was used. It's called the shvus to shvus, meaning a shvus means a derabbanan, right? It means an issa derabbanan Shabbos. So it's a shvus. Asking a guy to do anything is only a shvus. Right, it's only a derabbanan, and I'm asking the guy, what am I asking him to do? A shvus. So it's a shvus of a shvus. I'm asking him to do a shvus of a shvus. Now the truth is, conceptually, the idea of shvus to shvus could exist even without a guy. Meaning, sometimes something a person there might be an act a person wants to know if he's allowed to do or not, which is only usher because of an overlap of two derabbanans, right? And if not for both the rabbanans would be mutter. That's also in a sense a shvus to shvus, right? Because it's weaker if it's only usher when the rabbanan said I can't do X, okay, but that doesn't mean I necessarily can't do Y. Oh, but they also said you can't do Y, and if you do this, it's going to involve both X and Y, therefore you can't do it. Well, that's weaker than if it's just one thing, because it's only because it took two gzeres. It took a combination of two gzeres to make it usher, right? So, for example, there's a halacha that when it comes to carrying, right? Minatora, it's only in a rishus harabim that you can't carry, but in a karmelis, which is a public area, but it doesn't meet the dimension, the definition of rishus harabim, meaning it's either the streets are not so wide, not 60 naps wide, or they're not so heavily traveled. But there are certain specific definite things that define a place as a rishus harabim. If it's a public area but it doesn't meet those criteria, then it's what's called a kamis, only us and the rabbanan to carry. And that's, by the way, which is most of our streets are that way. And this, now, in addition to that, to carry a live person is only us and the rabbanan. A live person who is capable of walking is only us and the rabbanan. So to carry a person who could walk in a karmelis is a shus to shus. So there might be situations where that might be mutter. Okay, so let's hold it here. Blina, next time we'll resume. We'll start with this idea of shus to shus, and continue for the Blina.